This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
We did a quick series of stories a bit more than a year ago following a family of Syrian refugees from the moment they arrived in Connecticut through their first couple of months here as they try to get settled and build a new life. Lots obviously has changed since then for the family and for U.S. refugee policy. The Supreme Court is going to hear arguments on President Trump's travel ban in early October. But in the meanwhile, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson filed this update on the family and their first year in the United States.
Look at my bicycle.
Ali, Fatima, and their four kids have moved into a sweet yellow house with a grassy backyard. Five-year-old Bayan, the oldest, is this little sponge. She's just rocking English.
As I push me, please.
Push you, please. Thank you. But such nice manners.
Ali
brings a hose over to a small vegetable garden the family's planted next to the driveway. What are you growing?
This tomato, eggplant.
Eggplant?
Parsley, this?
Parsley?
Yeah.
The family's putting down roots. Ali has his driver's license and a part-time job at the Cheesecake Factory. He tells me about when Connecticut started to feel like home. It was family day at his daughter's school. She showed the class a picture she'd drawn of her dad cutting her brother's hair.
Everybody was clapping and everybody was really encouraging her as their own kid. So I didn't feel that I am a stranger in this community.
But for all the change over the last year, one thing has remained. Ali and Fatima are still really worried about money.
Yeah,
rent is here is expensive.
Their rent is about $1,000. Fatima and Ali are still relying on a group of local volunteers for emotional and occasional financial support. Normally, refugees get transitional help from a local nonprofit, but an organization in New Haven called IRIS is training local volunteer groups to take on that role. Any financial support is supposed to stop at 6 months.
We've already doubled that.
Terry Schmidt is the leader of the volunteer group assisting Ali and Fatima.
We would love to be in a situation where they didn't need us or turn to us for anything unless there was a real crisis. I don't think that's where we're at, and it's where we should be.
Ali's only working about 20 hours a week. Fatima is home with the kids. Their English is still really limited, and Ali has this bad back injury. He fell off his motorcycle during an airstrike back in Syria. So while the group's trying not to give Ali and Fatima any more financial support, the family's still at least $12,000 short on their annual expenses. And they still call the group if anything goes wrong. For example, when Fatima broke a tooth.
I think we're a little too comfortable being turned to. So they're not as independent as we would like them to be or as they should be.
IRIS has placed 58 refugee families with volunteer groups so far. About 65% were self-sufficient by that six-month mark, about 90% after a year. As a result, IRIS wants to better train volunteers to practice tough love with refugees and find them affordable housing.
Look at me, I'll go up the hill.
Okay, let's see you do it all by yourself.
I got it, go up the hill.
Back in the yard, Fatima brings out strong, sweet coffee. We all watch the kids ride their bikes in circles on the driveway.
I was just thinking about how far you've come to have this kind of normalcy here.
Yeah,
every day we will come here just to spend some time with them to get them out of the house.
I ask Ali what he wants for his kids now that they're here. Without hesitating, he says he wants them to be doctors.
Because he will be able to take the pain from other people.
He says he wants his children to be able to give back to the country that helped them. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.